Marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright gleaming in the light, battling for the right we ne'er can fail. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the wood along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
Well, amen. Good to see you tonight. And Jesus is indeed our captain. And we're glad about that. All right, we got some visitors. Why don't you tell us what your names are? And you're from Aransas Pass, I believe is what he told me. Well, amen. Well, we're glad to have you here. And he says they usually get to their church at the beginning and turn on the air and turn on the lights. Those are important people. All right, we're going to pray, and then we'll continue with the evening service. Father, I ask that you bless the service tonight. We need your power and need your presence. I ask that you meet with us now. Help us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
You can be seated.
We'll be singing He Keeps Me Singing, number 250.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting 'neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
So that I don't forget, if I don't do this, I'll forget. Ms. Cool says there's 20 pairs of shoes in the fellowship hall up for grabs. If you'd like to get some shoes, you can look. I believe it's mostly ladies' shoes, but if you need some shoes, you can avail yourself to that. All right, I'll give you the prayer list. Is Kurt here? Are they having a youth activity Friday night? Are they having youth activity Friday night? 6, 7:30? Thank you. And then Saturday morning, and we do things around here real professionally, you see. And then Saturday morning, 9:30 bus visitation, then 10:45 soul winning. And then come around Sunday again, 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:50 for Sunday morning. Hope to see you in all those places. All right, and we're glad to have our visitors here. They gave you a packet, did they already? Good. Any other visitors? Do we have any other visitors? We don't want to miss anybody. I didn't see anybody else. But we're glad to have them here all the way from Aransas Pass. That's a drive. All right.
Please stand as we sing number 303 on Jordan Stormy Banks.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. I pray that you bless the offering, Lord, to exceed our needs, Lord, and bless the gift and the giver. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Keith, if you put that visitor's card in the offering plate when it goes by, I appreciate that.
We will now be singing number 223, Draw Me Nearer.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope and lovely lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Romans 15, if you would. Romans 15. We're We're going to only look at one verse, one piece of advice, one piece of counsel, if you will, in the book of Romans in chapter 15. Now, if you know the book of Romans, I was thinking about the book of Romans. The book of Romans is one of the best put together books in the Bible as far as just the way it's laid out. The first eight chapters has to do with doctrine, and we get a lot of our Romans Road out of Romans chapters 1 through 8, because it lays down the doctrine of the sinfulness of man, and yet it also lays down the redemption of man through the Lord Jesus. And so doctrine's really heavy in the first eight chapters. It's like a doctrinal thesis. And then chapters 9, 10, and 11, Israel's past, present, and future. 12 through 15 is duties, our duties for the Christian life. And then chapter 16, it's almost like it's kind of pinned on there, greetings to many of the servants that Paul knew. So it's kind of laid out that way. And so we're going to be in chapter 15. And so if you go by that outline in your mind, we're in the duties. We're in the part of the duties. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we'll read it, and then we'll pray, and then we'll preach on this. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now, we've got the Bible, we've got the Scriptures, we've got God's Word. He gave it to us, and there's many reasons and many purposes and many intentions why He gave us the Bible. Tonight, we're going to look at, this is the title of the message, if I had a title, be this, One Reason for the Bible. Now, it's just one of the many. We're just going to talk about one of them. There's a lot of reasons, but we'll talk about one of them tonight that we find in Romans 15:4. So let's pray then, and we'll talk about Romans 15:4. Father, I ask that you bless the message tonight. Again, we need your power. I ask that you give me the hearts of the folks that are here, help them to listen and help them to apply the things that we're going to talk about tonight out of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So again, we have the Bible. God gave us the Bible, and there's many reasons, there's many purposes, many intentions that God had for us. Now, if I had to pick the main purpose, just the main intention, the main reason for the Bible, it'd kind of be between two things. One, just representing the Lord Jesus and all His glory. And the other that kind of mirrors it and kind of goes right along with it is the salvation of mankind. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." By the way, in our Sunday school class, we're talking about repentance right now. I think we read that verse Sunday. So if you come at 9:45 on Sunday, you get to learn about repentance, because we're kind of right in the middle of that portion of what we're going through, the book of Jonah. This is a paid political announcement for my Sunday school class. I hope you'll come. Anyway, but one of the main purposes is that mankind could be saved and the Lord Jesus be glorified. And that all should come to repentance, that all would come to the knowledge, the reality, the possession of eternal life, of everlasting life, to be redeemed. Hebrews 1:1 says it this way, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, by the Lord Jesus, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world." By the way, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, you want to do some Bible study? That'd be a good place to do some Bible study. Talk about all these things that Jesus is. Especially verse 3, "who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, the upholding of all things by the word of His power, when He hath by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." So He did this so that we could be saved. He came, God tells us in the Old Testament, the prophets, that's how He spoke to us, through the prophets. But now, when Jesus came, He spoke through His Son. And one of the things that He did through His Son, Jesus purged our sins. And so, when we're talking about one of the main reasons of the Bible, I'd say it's the glorification of the Lord Jesus, but also the salvation of man. They kind of go together. In fact, even Jesus himself had something to say about this area, about the most important thing of what the Bible's for. Matthew 18:11 says it this way, "For the Son of Man has come," why? "To save that which was lost." And in case you didn't get it the first time, Luke 19:10 says it again, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." So if I had to determine and decide and define the major reason for the Bible be somewhere between glorifying the Lord Jesus and the salvation of mankind, the salvation, the redemption, the sanctification of all people. But may I say there's more reasons, there's many reasons, a myriad of reasons for why God gave us the Bible. And here, Paul in the book of Romans tells us about one of those reasons. Romans 15:4 again says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now, technically, from Paul's perspective, it's just referring to the Old Testament primarily. He was talking about the Old Testament. In fact, he just made a quote from there. Romans 15:3 says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." Now, that's a quote from Psalm 69. So he quoted from the Old Testament. Then he said, "Oh, and by the way, all those things God wrote back there, they're important. They're important." It's almost like he went on a rabbit trail of his own, a parenthetic passage, as you will, or if you will, encouraging, exhorting, entreating his audience to recognize and to realize and reemphasize how important the Old Testament is to the New Testament Christian. I've known many Christians and maybe even some preachers that tried to play down or play off or belittle the Old Testament of sorts, say, "Well, we're in the New Testament church age now. We've got the New Testament." And I agree we're in the New Testament church age. I understand that. That doesn't mean that God didn't mean for us to get the Old Testament and put it in place as well. It's important. Still, kind of in the introduction of the message, Paul here states just how important the Old Testament is to New Testament Christianity, how necessary, how essential those things are. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime." So he's pointing back to things that were already written, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope. I was thinking about some of the things in the Old Testament that benefit us today. And I didn't have to go very far. I love chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Genesis. I mean, at the very beginning, there's a lot of things we can learn from the first two chapters of the book. If we just put those things in place, we'd be a whole lot better off. To give you a couple of them. First off, we were created. We didn't evolve. We were created. Man is different from the rest of the animals, and God put us at the top of His creation. And we are different. We are not a higher form animal. We're different. There's two. Did I say two? There's two sexes. There's two genders. There's male and female. Ain't no others. All the other ones folks come up with today are in somebody's mind. It's certainly not in the physical realm because God made us. He created us, male and female, and then marriage is between one man and one woman. Well, if you could just get that, that set a lot of things straight in our lives, would it not? So the Old Testament, can you see how important the Old Testament is already? Just from the first two chapters. Now, if we could just learn those simple truths we're talking about, we'd be a whole lot better off socially today and better Christians. But my point and focus for tonight is this. We're going to do some word studies. I love doing word studies. You know me, if you've heard me preach a message or two, you know I like doing that. And find one of the great reasons for God's Word. Again, from Paul's perspective, he's talking primarily of the Old Testament, but from our perspective, from our point of view, from our perception, it would be the entire Bible. The things that were written aforetime, well, they all written aforetime. Revelation was written aforetime. So all those things, all the Bible, all God's words, all Scripture is important for us. So let's do some word studies then and find something interesting in this verse. I don't think I'll take too long. I've probably done about 15, 20 minutes maybe. We'll see. Don't hold me to that. First off, I call your attention to an analysis and the word learning. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." For our learning. It's written for our learning. Now, that word learning there, it comes from a word that we get our word didactics from. Didactics. Didactics are the activity of educating or instructing, activities that impart knowledge or skill, the act or science of teaching. So when he talks about learning, he's talking about in the area of didactics or training, like a classroom or a schoolroom or a lecture hall. I mean, somebody would be speaking and others in a didactic fashion, in a schoolroom fashion, and teaching the Bible, and people out there would be educated. Huh. That sounds like Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special services. That's what it sounds a lot like to me. I was reading about some teacher-student stories. Your mind can only take so much as your behind can take when you're sitting on the seat. So, you know, we have to entertain people today. So I was reading some of these stories. Some of them pretty funny. To my German language students, I am Frau Draper. So she's Frau Draper. One girl gave me a pen that she'd made with my name on it. Isn't that nice? Unfortunately, it wasn't big enough to include my entire name. Now, her name is Frau Draper, F-R-A-U Draper. It wasn't big enough to put her whole name on there, but she did put her name on it in this fashion. She presented me with a badge that said, "Fraud." Yeah. I'll skip that one. Let me go to a different one. All right. How about this one? I thought this was interesting. On my last day of the year, my first graders gave me a beautiful handwritten letter. And I was reading all their comments aloud, and my emotions got the better of me, and I started to choke up. You've probably been there, especially if you work with children, especially young children. They just give their hearts to you. I worked in children's church for, I don't know, probably 25 years. And they'll just give everything to you. So she's having a hard time getting choked up about these letters. And she said, "I'm so sorry. I'm having a hard time reading." And one of the students piped up and said, "Just sound it out." Yeah. Anyway, if you get the idea, the word learning there is an idea of having a classroom where you learn things from a teacher that would teach you stuff. Like the Bible. So first off, then, to be the learning, and again, we get our word didactics from teaching. So for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, here's a next word, that we might through patience. Patience. Thayer's definition of patience is this, and all the people I've read behind said similar things: steadfastness, constancy, endurance. Here's another verse that has the same word in it: strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So you get the idea that this patience is, it's not what we would normally think of. We think of patience as being, we're going to do things and we're going to do it slow and just going to take care of it and get it done and not get too excited. That's not what that word technically means. That word there means that you're going through trouble. You're going through trials, and you still continue, you're still steadfast in your life doing things for the Lord Jesus. And one of the lessons I was taught as a very young Christian many years ago, I'd tell you how many, but then you'd know how old I was. But many years ago, someone told me this, you never pray for patience. Because if you ever pray for patience, God's going to give you some. But the way He's going to give you patience, He's going to put you through some trials and some turmoil. And you're going to have some trials to go through. And through that, you'll develop patience. So we don't ever pray for it, but God does put those things in our lives. I was thinking we don't need to pray for patience too much. We already have a lot of challenges in life. Two of them I was thinking, marriage and having children. They were telling me, the visitors here were telling me they've been married a little over 30 years, I think maybe 35, I think they said. My wife and I have been 46. She's not here tonight, praise the Lord. She's on a trip with my daughter, so I can talk about her. But I thought about marriage and children. I was reading one story about a husband and wife, and they said, you know, we've thought about it, we don't want any children. When we get to the supper table tonight, we're going to tell them we don't want them anymore. Yeah. Some sporting events show the idea of patience or endurance. I was reading about a particular triathlon. The sport triathlon is currently one of the most popular endurance sports on the planet. And when I read what they do in these triathlons, you'll understand particularly this one. It's the Norseman Triathlon. Every August, 240 athletes are tested with a 2.4-mile swim in a chilling ford. Did I tell you this is the Norseman? I mean, that's up north in the cold water. A 112-mile bike ride. And on top of that, they do the 6.2 marathon run to the summit of a 6,000-feet-high mountain with the final few miles on a rocky track. That takes some endurance. I mean, to take endurance just to run a half marathon, never mind a full marathon after you swim in the water for a couple miles and rode a bike for over 100 miles. So we're talking about patience then. We're talking about whatever obstacle is in your way, whatever opposition comes your way, whatever ordeal you happen to be in, you're just going to continue. You're going to have patience and you're going to be steadfast, still pressing on, still keeping on. As they used to say, keep on trucking. Just keep going. So there's learning, there's patience, and then he mentions the word comfort. Comfort. Dr. Barnes has this to say about that word comfort: by means of the consolation which the writings of the Old Testament furnish. The word rendered comfort means also exhortation or admonition. If this is its meaning here, it refers to the admonitions which the Scriptures suggest, instructions which they impart, and the exhortations to patience in trials. Again, I can just think off the top of my head, Daniel in the lion's den, Joseph, slavery, prison, forgotten in prison, David and Goliath. I mean, I could go on and point out many of the accounts in the Bible where we should be admonished and encouraged to go on even amongst bad, difficult circumstances. One of the songwriters wrote this, "Alone in the darkness, you're wandering. Is Jesus still listening to me? Is He truly aware of my suffering? And is this the way it always will be? My friend, I know the answer to your question, but don't trust my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others, sisters and brothers who've been there, and their stories live on. Just ask the woman at the well, the thief at the cross, the lame man who's walking, the dumb. Tell it all. Ask the beggars and the lepers who've been touched by His hand. Can He handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer. Just ask. Just ask." So reading, studying, and examining the heroes of the faith, we get this exhortation from the Bible, get this comfort, this, again, admonishment from the Scriptures to keep on pushing on. Hebrews 11 is shot full of them. So our heroes of the faith. So there's learning, there's patience, there's comfort. And then finally, the last word is hope. It says in Romans 15:4 again, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope. Now that word hope, the best description of that word I have ever heard anywhere, and I've never read a better description than this, than what Brother Nichols has given. And he said this over and over. I don't know if you ever noticed. You ever notice when he says a word, he'll give the description of it, and he'll say it again and again, and then the next service he'll say it again, and then maybe a year from then he'll say it again? I'm thinking of the priesthood of the believers. That's direct access to God. Every time he says that word, every time he talks about the priesthood of the believer, he'll say that's direct access to God. So we get in our mind, priesthood. Oh, yeah, that's direct access. We don't have to go through somebody else. We got direct access. Well, hope, the definition he gave for hope, or the description of hope, is a confident expectation. A confident expectation. Again, it's not how we use the word today. We generally, when we say hope, we're hoping something will come to pass. There's some uncertainty about it. There's some doubt in our mind whether it's going to happen. There's some apprehension. There's some anxiety. There's a little worry that we're kind of hoping that it'll come to pass, but we're not sure. That's not the Bible word for hope. The Bible word for hope means it's going to come to pass. It's a confident expectation. It's a certainty. It's a finality. It's a confidential or a confident expectation or occurrence. In fact, Titus 2:13 calls it our blessed hope. Talk about heaven, our blessed hope. Where our loved ones, you know, when we send our loved ones off, we have funerals. We've had a number of funerals here and said goodbye to our loved ones. But we have the confident expectation, the blessed hope, we'll see them again. Amen. It's tragic to preach a funeral for someone that's never been saved. What can you tell anybody? They're gone. And you don't want to go where they are. But if the person has been saved, there is a confident expectation for where they are and also when they where I'm going to be. So it's a confident expectation. Perhaps Hebrews says it best, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we trust that and say, if we do what God says, he'll do what he said. Amen. So the analysis, learning, patience, comfort, and hope. I hope you got all those four words. Those four words are important for what we're going to talk about now. Now we're going to make an application for it. I was thinking there's three parts to this message. There's the introduction. There's the definitions, which we already did. Now let's make an application. That's where we are, making an application of what this verse has to say. So we'll look at that verse one more time. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So we learn that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You notice that little word in there? There's a little word in there that we oftentimes overlook. It's important in another verse I'll talk about in just a second. The word that. See that word that in there? This is almost like it's a for that. It starts off with saying, for whatsoever thing, blah, 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 that. It's a for that. Formula in your life, a postulate, if you will, a recipe for our actions before God. For that, it's almost like if then, if we'll do this, God will do that. Well, here, God gave us the Bible, that, and then he gives a reason. This is the reason why he gave us, at least one of the reasons why he gave us the Bible, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. John 3:16 has a couple that's in it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Those words that divides the verse up nicely into three different portions and tells you exactly what it's talking about. So the word that's an important word, and it's important in this one too, because it's for that. God lays out the operation, the sequence, the progression, and all we have to do is make the application for our lives. Now here's the crucial point, the critical fulcrum, if you will, the central factor. He says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our, here it is, learning. In order for the second part of that verse to have any effect, we have to learn. The didactic training, the diligent tutoring, the described technique, if you will. Do you want that promise? Do you want the promise that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope? Do you want that promise? I mean, do you want that hope? Do you want that confident expectation? Do you? Do you want it? Do you desire it? Do you long for it? Well, then our part is to do the learning. The learning, the didactics, the classroom training is right in the middle of it. That means you ought to show up for Sunday school. Now, we have a lot of people think Sunday school is for children. And we have Sunday school for children, have all the different ages, and we're glad that children will come. I'm even glad that some parents will let their children ride a bus and come to church so they can learn things in Sunday school. But we have an adult Sunday school here too. And if you've been to my class, hopefully you learned some. We try to shovel it out. So you learn these things, so you put it in place. Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, the Wednesday midweek service, special meetings, all those we show up so we can be trained. There's a statement somebody mentioned to me years ago, and it never quite left me. They said, some people have 40 years of experience. Other people have 1 year of experience 40 times. That kind of sums up two types of Christians oftentimes. You have the one Christian that's just been going for it their entire life, and they have matured, and they're moving on, and they've got the 40 years of experience to go with it. I've seen other Christians, they get a little excited, and they go a little while, and then they kind of fall out and kind of, you know, maybe drift a little bit, and then you don't see them for a little while. Then you see them up again. They're all excited again. They go for a little while, and then they kind of... Anybody remember Harold Clayton? Harold Clayton preached his message, the tortoise and the hare, or the turtle and the rabbit. That there was a race between the rabbit and the turtle, and you think, well, that's preposterous. I mean, the turtle, by its very definition, they're slow. And the rabbit, they're fast. There should be no contest. But you know how the fable goes. The rabbit says, oh, I got this. And he started running real fast. And pretty soon he said, well, there's the shade tree over there. Oh, man, I'm hot. You go lay down for a little while. While he's laying down, the turtle comes by, passes him up, looks over there and says, he keeps on moving. And pretty soon the rabbit wakes up and goes, oh, man, turtle's passed me. I got to get him go again. And starts moving again. And passes up the turtle. I mean, spins the turtle around a couple times. And is way out there. But then he sees another little stream, little river. And says, oh, didn't that look nice? And he gets off the path again. He's over the water. What's the turtle doing? Old turtle, he's what Clayton mentioned. He said he's slow and steady, same old gait, same speed, same direction, leaning slightly forward. That's the 40-year experience Christian. The one that's just been doing it, and no matter what obstacles are in their way, they're still trying to put it in. The experienced, the accomplished, the seasoned, the veteran Christian is one that's put this verse in their life. They have learned. And because they have learned it, because they have been educated in these areas, they can go on and have that hope that God has for us at the end. We need to diligently learn the Bible that we might have the endurance, the comfort, the hope, this confident expectation we're talking about. Now, you're here in this service, hopefully, to learn something, to be equipped for your life, for your Christian life. I'm here to encourage you, to exhort you, to extol you, to beg you, if you will, to keep pushing. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't go by that little river. Don't stop for the shade tree. I mean, you just keep moving in the same direction, and if you just keep moving, God will bring these things to pass in your life. So let's read that verse again. Hope it means more to you now than what it meant when we started. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, so we could learn them, why that, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We can have that confident expectation that God has for us if we'll learn the Bible, put it in practice through our patience, enduring, and the comfort of the Scriptures, the consolation of the Scriptures, as well as the admonishment of the Scriptures, to keep on pushing and gather to that hope. So there's the message tonight. One of the reasons for the Bible, Romans 5:4 tells us one of those reasons why God gave us the Bible. And my encouragement to you would be to keep coming to church, all the services, to learn. Say, "Oh, I already know it all." You don't know it all. You keep coming. We're going to have an invitation in just a minute. I didn't preach to lost people tonight. Maybe you're here and you've never even asked Jesus to save you before. You're not even on the team yet. That verse, Romans 15:4, is not going to do you much good. You got to get on the team first, so these the learning can be put in place. You have to be on the team. And if you've never asked Jesus to save you before, we'll have an invitation. You can come forward and ask Jesus to save you. We'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Maybe it's your service. Maybe you've been out at one of those watering holes. Maybe you've been under that shade tree. I prayed about this. I asked God where I should say it, and I told him, "Don't bring it to my mind if you don't want me to say it." When we have the offering, we oftentimes have to look for a while to find people that can come down the offering. You know why? Because of the way they dress. When we want official things done in the services, sometimes we have to look a while because of the way people are dressed. I'd encourage you. We're coming to church. I came to serve. I pastored for several years and then came back here. The first message that I preached. Now, when I got back from that church, I was pretty beat up. And I wasn't in any condition to do much. Happily, since those days, things have gotten a lot better. I've got out of that and moving on. But we prayed and God took us through it. But Brother Nichols asked me to preach one night. He said, "Now, you know you need to wear a shirt and tie at least." Yes, sir. I'll do that. And I'm not trying to get at anybody, just trying to encourage you. I'm not trying to be mean, not trying to be ugly. Just part of the learning so that you can be used and that God can use you the best. I mean, we're here to serve, right? So, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I hope you'll get this, the learning, and then putting it in place. So if the musicians will come and every head bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, we have given exactly what you put on my heart to give tonight, and ask, Lord, that you would finish in each of the people's hearts here tonight and encourage your folks. We love them. I ask that you'd help help them put these things into practice in their lives. Maybe we haven't got some that have been kind of dropping by the water hole from time to time or under that shade tree and hadn't been all in. Lord, I pray that you'd help them get all in. We need everybody all in. Help us to do those things that would please you in our lives for Christianity, and not just for Christianity, for Liberty Baptist Church.